please leave a message at the tone.
Hey, Montrell. This is Sharon from the DivaCast, and we got your email, and I wanted to call and say, why don't you like me?
Don't worry about it, Montrell. This is Amy, and it's okay. You can like Amy and Suzanne.
And this is Suzanne, and we really had fun with your email, and we actually talked about it on our current show that we recorded today. It won't be uploaded for a few days yet, but we did mention you. So thank you so much for your feedback.
Thanks, Montrell.
Thanks for your support.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Jeez, that's what happens when you leave us your phone number.
On an email, the DivaCast, number 53, 28 June 2007. Everybody, we are five fun, fabulous friends, and we are the DivaCast, and this is Suzanne.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sharon, and I just wanted to say thanks, Montrell. We had a lot of fun with that when she emailed us a couple weeks ago, and we got an email back after we left her a phone mail message. So can I read it?
Go right ahead.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Divas, I hope this email finds you. I wanted to let you know what a thrill it was to check my voicemail and find a message from the Divas. How exciting. She liked hearing from us. She was flabbergasted and awestruck. So anyway, she played it for her husband and her colleague, and her friend's name is Chandra. And we're mentioning her because she likes me the best.
I think that's just a crock, Sharon. I just think that she's just pretending
that. I just think they were just trying to make you feel better.
That's right. No, she
They're
said.
Throwing you a bone, baby.
Bet. And I'm taking it.
Don't let your tail wag.
Listen, this is what Montrell writes. She even asked after hearing the phone message why I didn't like Sharon. I had to explain that I love you all, but Suzanne just a little bit more. So, Amy, you got dropped
off the
list.
Wait a second. What happened to me?
And then she said that I am Chandra's favorite because I remind her of her. So that's scary if
that's
there's
very
two of
sweet.
Us.
It's very,
so anyway,
very
so
sweet.
I thought that was fun. Okay.
You were supposed to talk about our diva sisters who are missing in action this
Julie,
evening.
I'm sorry. I got so excited because someone else wrote they liked me. I just lose track. Julie and Carrie are not here. Julie is not feeling good, and Carrie, bless her heart, is working hard, so she had a bunch of things she had to
That's
do today.
That's not true.
So.
She's getting her hair done or something.
Yeah,
isn't
I thought she was getting
well,
her
I was
going to
cover for her.
You know what? Forget that.
All right, she's getting her hair done. It was more important.
She might be coming in a little bit later, so we'll see how her hair looks.
Okay, and also before we get started, I want to thank again a guy, girl, and a bottle, Joe and Pam, who joined us last podcast. We enjoyed having them, and we certainly hope to do it again in the near future.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really nice of them to share a show with us.
Yeah, that was fun. It's kind of cool.
Today we have a very special guest, and his name is Tom Royce. He is an expert in blogging and the internet, and he has a wealth of knowledge that he's going to share with us today. He is involved with two websites, realestatebloggers.com and scaredmonkeys.com, and he has a lot of experience with writing for internet blogs as well, and we are very excited to have him with us today. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey,
Tom.
Hey, Divas.
Ooh,
hey,
a male. Tom, it's nice to have some male energy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom. Something that Amy didn't mention, and I want to, is you've been on CNN, and you've been on all kinds of radio shows all over the country, so you're like a real celebrity.
Wow. He's a star.
And he's right here with us.
A myth in my own mind.
There you go.
No, that's way cool. Tell us about a little bit about what you do and
how you do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got started blogging about 4 years ago in the very early days when there were just a few of them out there. Had a lot of fun. We started out as a political conservative type blog. A buddy of mine and I, who, as many of us do, we send emails back and forth to friends. Mm-hmm. And I was in the computer industry, so I learned about this blogging software, and I figured I'd try it out just because. So one Friday night over some long-distance cocktails, we're writing stories out on the internet and putting them there, thinking it's just between the two of us. Well, little did I know that one of the top bloggers at the time had found the story come across either through Google or some other source, and he linked to me. And so the next day, I have 200 people show up on this brand new site that was sort of done as a joke. And that's when I learned the power of linking the internet and how it's one big community. Now, of course, I had some very intelligent people who discussed my writing style and showed me up, and you know, for the pure amateur that I was. But I learned a lesson from that, that everything you do is out there.
That's kind of interesting. Now, Scared Monkeys is today a very popular blog website. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And tell us how you catapulted.
Well, I had been doing it for about a year or so off and on, and it was just still very much a hobby where we were writing on it. And we started to take it more seriously. We went to a blogging convention in Nashville and learned some of the tricks of the trade, met some great people out there who had been doing it, and sort of got the bug that we wanted to do this more full time. So we increased the amount of stories we were writing. And then one day my partner, who had a few years earlier had a business in Aruba, came across a story over Memorial Day weekend of a missing blonde girl in Aruba. Well, of course, that was Natalie Holloway.
Okay.
And in the magic of the internet with Google and the like, he wrote the story, and 3 days later, we're the number one story on Google for Natalie Holloway.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, this little sleepy site that we had was getting 5,000 people an hour coming into it.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
5,000 an hour.
5,000 an hour. We did 1.5 million visitors, unique visitors that month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was absolutely,
that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it blew us out of the water. But what was even more fun about it is, one, it was a very sad situation.
Yeah. Right. Tragic.
You know, very tragic, very awkward. It was fast moving. It was Memorial Day weekend, so the major media grabbed onto the story.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing was the power of the average person. You know, you and I, we walk down the street and we see news happen in front of us every day. But there is never a way for us to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to call the local TV station and said, I saw news. They want us to, but you're not going to do it. You know, the headache factor. But with the internet, we had comments on the site. So every time we wrote a post on it, we'd get 400, 500, 600 comments. I was having to wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to change the comment threads just because it was slowing the server down so much. But what was happening is people in Aruba were empowered. And all of a sudden we were hearing...
Wait, can you just go back to that? Why,
sure.
Why were they empowered?
Well, they had the ability to be a part of the story. So Aruba is a small island. Many mm-hmm. people saw many different facets of the story. And the best example of it was they were draining a pond. Now, there was a media cordon where they were kept in a certain area where mm-hmm. they couldn't see what was happening. On our site, we were getting emails from people in the hotel. The manager of the hotel is on a laptop sending us emails, commenting on the site, telling us exactly what's happening. So he could look down in and see exactly what's happening with binoculars, and we were able to report things. So the CNNs, Foxes, MSNBCs were reading our site.
To know what was going on.
To tell the world what was going on.
So you were scooping the scoopers.
We were scooping by hours.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, it was an absolutely amazing thing. And that the media, blogs were so new. The media wasn't in a position to sit there and credit the blogs. So they were, you know, not crediting us, which was a little frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to see what we were doing and the power of it. And we were in contact with producers on every major channel for the most part.
And when you say you were in contact, did they just get in touch with you? Did they blog you and just say, hey, I'm so-and-so?
The email would be in there and, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm Bill O'Reilly's producer. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm Joe Scarborough's producer. Every single major show was emailing us and trying to develop a relationship because we were the focal point.
You were getting news faster than they could.
We were. And we were having conversations and ideas were developing. And with the internet, you can see who's coming to the site roughly. You know, if you're coming from a domain of CNN.com or Turner.com, you know, FoxNews.com, we could see where these people were coming. And we're just, you know, one of every, you know, now we're talking 5,000 an hour, but say one or two of every 100 was from a major news channel coming in and watching. So we interacted with the media. We had a great opportunity where CNN did a 5-minute special on us, which was really one of the first things with blogs.
When was that, Tom?
It was about 2 weeks into the story.
So we're talking a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago. And it was...
It's been already a couple of years ago.
It's been 2 years.
Yes. Gosh.
How do you even make it through that volume of feedback that you get?
It was amazing. And there's two sides of it that are amazing, though. There's the one side of the amount of information coming in, and the other side is the amount of people who really have dedicated the last 2 years of helping get the story out and keeping the story alive, and the hours. we have one person who does moderation for us, Debbie Glissant. She sits there and probably puts in 8-10 hours a day moderating comments, going through things still to this day. We have people volunteering, helping out. The community that is developed around it is just absolutely amazing.
I bet.
Has the family ever,
to your knowledge, gone on the blog? Or?
Oh, we talked with them regularly.
Okay.
I went to a fundraiser in Birmingham. My partner, Red, has been really the leader on this. You know, it's turned into his crusade on many different levels, and he's very, very active in the missing person, victims' rights community now. Absolutely amazing the job that he has done with it all. But he's in daily contact during that period with the family. He still is in contact with the family. We do things. We have a radio show on Scared Monkeys that Dave Holloway, Beth have been on. Tim Miller, who is with Texas EquiSearch, who was a real lead in searching and pushing the Aruban government to do a lot of things they didn't want to do. We've helped participate. We've helped fundraisers for them. We've just been very active in that community.
That's very cool. Where is it at this point? Is there any new stuff coming along
The newest thing that's happening is Tim Miller is working to try to do a deep water search. He's arranged for $2 million worth of equipment to be probably going into Venezuela and then coming into the waters around Aruba to search it, because the Aruban government isn't really thrilled with him coming on the island anymore.
And Tim Miller is?
Tim Miller is the head of Texas EquiSearch. Texas EquiSearch was, he founded it nearly 20 years ago when his daughter went missing. And he participates in searches all around the country, helping to the technology that he has access to, the skills that his group has. It's a volunteer, purely volunteer organization, but they go wherever people are missing. They did a search in Atlanta for a Georgia Tech student about a year ago, and they came in and helped find him, and it was an unfortunate situation. But you know, Tim's philosophy on this is not that, you know, we're going to find every person alive, but he has to find a way to bring, it's a horrible word, closure for the family. That someone having a missing child, having a missing loved one is a horrible experience.
It's horrific.
To find the ability to complete the story, to say, okay, we found the body, we can have a funeral, we can really start grieving as opposed to holding out that little bit of hope. And the job they do is absolutely amazing.
I know this is getting off a little bit, but they're not going to find the body of her at this point in time if it was in the water, correct?
Well, no, I mean, actually,
they'd be finding
outside of Aruba, the water drops off deeply very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Tim, and he is, you know, an expert on this, that you don't want to be real graphic, but the temperature will keep things cold enough that it'll be preserved in such a way that she'll be able to be identified, and the parents can hopefully, you know, grieve it. And on the reverse side, justice can be served at that stage, because now that there's an answer, as opposed to a missing person's case is so hard to prosecute because it's nebulous.
Right.
The Aruban government, you know, has been working very hard to protect their tourist industry and maintain the status quo. So their interests in having the story come back to life is not, you know, what they're really pushing. The Dutch government had sent over an investigation team, and they're going through those records now. But trying to find an answer is what everybody's working towards.
You made the comment that you had no doubt if you went back to Aruba today, you would be arrested. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, yes. We, you know, Scared Monkeys, and, you know, I've been sort of the named face on it. My partner Red has done most of the work, but he works under a non-declam. We have really stirred up the Aruban government. We've nudged them, we've tweaked them, we've advocated boycotting the island, we've led many a charge against the island to make them accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, just like anything else, you don't want to sit there and make the people of Aruba punish them per se, but at the same time, the government has been less than forthcoming, has been less than helpful in the whole process. So we've just tried to do everything we can to force them into it. And we've been recording, you know, all the idiosyncrasies that happen on an island. We have a great relationship with one of the leading publishers, Jossi Mansour, on the island. And we help him get stories out and vice versa.
Have you impacted their tourism?
Yes, we have.
Scared Monkeys has had a negative impact on tourism in Aruba?
We think so, in a certain way. And going back to the early days of the story, well, you know, the Aruban people aren't used to the American media. So they got swarmed on by the media.
Mm.
But the only channel they really get down there is CNN. So we were the lead on the internet covering the story. So for a lot of people, for a period of time, they really thought of Scared Monkeys as a major news media outlet in America, not a website run by two guys out of their basement.
Surprise!
Yeah, well, there
there's a lot of basement run-in shows going on around the world, aren't there?
Thank God for them. But so that their perception of scared monkeys probably wasn't the reality what we would think of as Americans. But, you know, we were considered the a major news source in Aruba. We were the most accurate news source. We were the most timely news source, which helped us get so much of the information, too. Mm-hmm. Because the Arubans, people, for the most part, were very, very helpful.
And they were coming to you.
And they were coming through us, yeah.
And that's, I guess that's the beauty of blogs, is that you're not censored.
No, we're not censored. Know? And we have the ability for the average person to have a voice, which is just an amazing concept. The media has always been a one-way front. I mean, your podcast right now is you speaking to the people. 10 years ago, the technology was not available for anybody to do this. The only way you could listen to something, the people in the audience could listen to something, was through their radio or through their TV. Mm-hmm. It was a one-way channel. Now you have these wonderful instances where you're doing your show, someone can email, and there's interaction like you did in the beginning. So the two-way channeling of it is what is absolutely amazing to me. And this is what keeps me going.
How is that? This is Suzanne, but how is that going to change? And how is it changing traditional media?
Well, traditional media is now becoming accountable. When you watch a talking head show on TV and they say something stupid, or you read an editorial in the newspaper. In the past, the editorial in the newspaper is the greatest example. You know, I could sit there and I get an editorial in the newspaper and I say something absolutely outlandish and wacky. 1,000 people write letters to the editor to complain about it. Who has control over those letters getting into the paper so people can read it?
The editor,
the people who control the concept. In the world of blogging and the internet is much different. We sit there and the ethos is that as long as a comment isn't an ad hominem attack, isn't attacking someone personally, isn't going after them being rude, we pretty much let it stand. So if someone has a contrarian point of view, I write a post, I put it out there, I have to have a tough skin, because anything that I say is wrong is going to come back and people are going to tell me what a moron I am. And that's great.
See, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
That's why we try to be peace, love, joy on the podcast. But Tom Royce, you know.
I'd piss off countries.
Well, you know, that brings me to another question, though, Tom. Do you think that there will ever be censorship on the internet and with blogging and things? I don't know how they could ever do that, but...
Countries try to do it. Iran... I got to meet a couple great people out of Iran at a conference that are actively fighting it. Egypt bloggers have been arrested. China bloggers have been arrested. So in a government that is in a totalitarian state, bloggers are at risk. And they are some of the bravest people to sit there and take the risks. Going back to our tradition of Thomas Paine and, you know, the like. But in America, we're so wide open. And it's so great because, you know, I can have one opinion. You can have another opinion. Suzanne can have another opinion. Amy can have a different opinion. All rocking things out, and we can have a conversation. So you can go out and you can search a Technorati, which searches the blogs, or Google, and find all these different points of view, as opposed to one point of view that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution sends down to us.
Or CNN or Fox.
Or CNN or Fox, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I go back to the Natalie thing for just 1 minute? This is Sharon. Yeah. How did you verify the accuracy? Because you mentioned a couple times the accuracy of your stories versus, I mean, what if I'm just kind of a kooky person?
Yeah, just stirring the pot.
And I'm a kooky person and I want to say I have... see Natalie drinking coffee at the local coffee shop.
That happened more than you could imagine. And the first few days, you know, a lot of things happened. I'll be honest, at the first or second Saturday that we really got involved in the story, Fox News reports that Natalie's body has been found. And we put up a big story and a picture of Natalie in memorial, you know, and we turned around and all of a sudden we get a couple calls from the island and emails saying that's not true. So we hastily pulled things down, redid it. But with the blogging world, you're going to make mistakes. You know, we don't have all the levels of editorship. So what we tend to do is we update stories. We constantly are, you know, it isn't fixed. And we're expected to make mistakes and we admit we make mistakes, as opposed to the main media typically does, is they'll make a mistake and act like it never happened 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm. They don't call it an evolving story. They call it, oh, we didn't do that.
No, it just never happened. Almost Stalinistic. It never happened.
There you go.
While we sit there and... you know, if you go back and look at the posts that we did during that period, there are corrections, there are updates constantly happening, because we're saying this is a very living organism. Now, to avoid that as we learned, that somebody will tell you something. We won't run with it right away, but then we find out it's true and we'll run with it. You know, it's second, third sources. But after the third or fourth time, this person is giving you great information. Like in the early stages of the Natalie Holloway story, they arrested two black security guards because that was the story that the boys who had disappeared with Natalie made, Yoren, Deepak, and Satish. So they arrested these two black security guards. Media's going in their houses. They're being hauled out. We had someone come onto our site saying, I live in Boston in the Cape Cod area, and I'm very good friends with them, and they would never do this. And they started talking to the family and saying, getting that side of the story. Now, the Aruban media, the national media, had no interest. They had their suspects. Mm-hmm. So they had no interest in getting out who these people are, what they're all about. But we were getting it from friends and family on who they really were. And so we were able to turn the tide of where two guys may have been railroaded. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have the whole power of it, but we added to the conversation enough that people had to look back and go, they're innocent.
Yeah, you certainly played a role in that. I'm sure that you have your thoughts on how what has happened with Natalie and who is to blame. Or am I just assuming?
Yeah, we do. We do. There are were three gentlemen that, well, I don't want to use the term gentlemen, but three boys who put her in a car and disappeared with her. And then since then, their stories have changed so many times in so many different lines, Yoren, Deepak, and Satish, that we know that there's so much more that they know that they could tell us. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened to her. She had been drinking. There had been a huge concert that night at the beach. There's so many different facets that, you know, something horrible happened to Natalie. Mm-hmm. And for us, yes, we would like the people who did it to see justice. But the key thing is for Natalie's family is to find the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a simple concept. You know, help us find Natalie. Help us put the parents out of some of the grief that they're in the middle of. And then let's talk about justice.
Let me play devil's advocate here just for a second. What if I'm involved in some kind of murder or whatever, and I'm accessing
this
your blog?
This is Sharon talking.
Yeah. And I'm accessing your blog. Isn't that helping me stay maybe one step ahead of everything as far as, you know, what evidence they're finding and what people are leaning towards and those kinds of things?
We're almost positive that they had been on the site.
Okay.
So we know that. But at the same time, that's the risk of an open society and an open world. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and, you know, be hiding all these facts.
Well, I'm just thinking of Murder, She Wrote. You know, it's like kind of one of those deals where there's always a couple facts you didn't know until the very end when she's, you know, catching the...
Angela,
mm-hmm. Yes.
There you go.
So that's... Okay. And then the dad was involved of one of the boys, right?
He
was a high-ranking official.
Yeah, he was a judge-to-be, and he was part of the Aruban Dutch establishment. Aruba was a colony of the Netherlands. It mm-hmm. gained independence, but at the same time, the judiciary and the police are under the command of the Netherlands. So he was one of the elite on the island. He was from an old, rich family in the Netherlands and was sort of a black sheep that got sent off to the island to stay out of everybody's hair. But he was seen gambling that night while his wife was in the Netherlands. She was gone. There's so many, and I think this is what, as a story, makes the whole Natalie Holloway disappearance so compelling, is that there are 100 different subplots, 100 different options. We recently had a story here locally where a wrestler killed his family. That is a story, but it isn't as compelling for people because it's horrible, it's miserable, but there's a conclusion. The Natalie Holloway story
has never happened.
The Natalie Holloway story has never seen its conclusion. Yeah. And so we have a forum that at one stage had 5,000 active members. We had to cull it down because there was so much strife, because people invested so much in the story trying to help out and work with it that tensions rise. It's like when you ever have anything that people are very passionate about. So mm-hmm. we ended up clearing out our forum and starting again. And now it has about 600 members. That it's a much more peaceful, calmer place. But it also mm-hmm. created, you know, animosity and people who believe different things on the story. So there's, you know, on the internet, there's a lot of tension where some people are saying that the Vandersloots and Kalpos are innocent. We're saying they're guilty. They're defending Aruba because their island's being beat up on tourism. We're saying they should be beat up until they find an answer. So there's a lot of controversy out there.
That's interesting. With Scared Monkeys, though, you also do other missing persons other than Natalie Holloway. Is that correct?
Yes. We have one site, which is called missingexploited.com, which is dedicated solely to missing persons and helping work the stories. And we do a lot of work with Texas EquiSearch again. again, Tim Miller's organization mm-hmm. with that. And then we also on the front page of Scared Monkeys, my partner, Red, is turned into one of the top advocates for missing persons, victims' rights across the country. So he's become a very, very strong voice for it.
Wow, Tom, that's, you know, you have so much information that we'd like to tap into it some more. We're wondering if you're able to come back to and visit us next week. What do you think?
I would love to.
Can we do that?
That would be great.
Before we close, I just have one more question. I would like to know, how did you guys come up with the name Scared Monkeys?
I came up with it right after 9/11. We sat there and went through this horrific experience in the country. And you know those scared monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, mm-hmm. speak no evil.
Yes.
And I was just terrified that as a country, and this is political, this is the political side of me, but as a country, we would sit there and brush it off and treat it as a one-time event as opposed to a fundamental change in our country. And to be honest, we sort of have now. You know, the argument, everyone takes their safety for granted. Everyone would much rather sit down and watch Entertainment Tonight with a six-pack of beer than to sit there and think of bad things that could happen to us. So that we've shut down and we're acting like scared monkeys.
Very, very interesting. Very clever. Very clever.
Okay, well, Tom is going to join us again for another podcast. And I do want to mention DesperateHusbands.com. Carrie was on a voicemail, and Amy, I hate to say this, but she talked about you.
I'm sure she said something very lovely about me.
She did. Actually, it was telling husbands things they need to do and not do. And one of the things was don't give fake flowers, but do give flowers. And she happened to mention that if you don't get flowers, sometimes there's so much pressure for women that you might send flowers to yourself.
That had nothing to do with me. I didn't send any flowers to myself. What is she talking about? I'm confused.
Anyway, so we want to thank DesperateHusbands.com for playing Carrie's phone mail message.
Even though she lied.
It's still good podcasting.
And hey, everybody, I also want to mention that we have a survey. It's called survey.podshow.com. And if you were to go to that and fill it out, it really helps Podshow get more information to serve our listeners better. And it also helps us out. And by the way, the DivaCast, if you go to our website, we also have a separate survey for you. It's on the left side of our website. And if you click on that and take that, it really gives us some good information. I think people have already filled it out.
Yeah, I think there's 35 folks that have surveyed so far about us specifically for the DivaCast.
Yeah, which is amazing, amazing. And it helps grow us so that we know what your preferences are. So thank you so much.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We really enjoy getting our numbers up. So it's free. All you have to do is go to iTunes under podcasts and subscribe. And you'll get our show delivered to your iTunes every week. And we appreciate that. Also, we love our emails, as you know, and we'll definitely mention them. And you can call and leave us a voicemail message as well, 678-884-0524, or email us diva@thedivacast.com.
And if you leave your phone number, we just might give you a ringy dingy.
Uh-oh, watch out for that. But just let everybody know that you love Amy the most. Also, remember, everybody, that inside every woman is a diva, and we thank Natalie Brown for our opening music. I am the Queen of Me, and today we are closing with something new, Podsafe Music, called I Can't Help It by Mesa. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tom Royce. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
And we really can't help it. In my mirror, took me by surprise. I can't help but see you running often through my mind, helpless like a baby. Since you were disguised.
to your eyes, like a trip to heaven. Heaven is the prize, and I'm so glad I found you, baby. You're an angel in disguise.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.